Rock, sport, and talk.
Full time with Matt Jones.
This is Radio City Talk.
You're listening to Radio City Talk. It's full time with Matt Jones. And an article caught my eye in 442 recently because it was naming the 10 most depressing teams to support in the United Kingdom. And funnily enough, I'm sure there'll be many fans listening to this now who are going to agree with it. Everton came out in 10th place. And the man who wrote it for 442 is Mark Langshaw, and I can speak to him now. Good afternoon, Mark.
Afternoon, Matt.
Great to have you on. First of all, what was the criteria? How did you decide who was the most depressing to support?
Well, I mean, Everton were an easy pick for me because I, myself, am an Evertonian. and last season was joyless, honestly, even by Everton's standards. But the criteria in general, it was all about expectations, you know, prior to the season. With Everton, they were higher than ever because, you know, we had investment this season. We strengthened in the summer. There really was that belief that we were going to, you know, challenge the top teams this season, and you know, it just didn't happen.
Well, it certainly didn't. Obviously, then, it's just something that's over the last 12 months, not over a sustained period of time.
Yeah, I mean, the article was very much, if you look at the title of it, it's the most depressing teams to support in Britain right now. So Everton at the time of writing very much met that criteria.
Well, if it had been for a longer period, they could have been even higher up then, couldn't they?
potentially. But I mean, if you look at right now, there is an air of optimism around the club, you know, renewed optimism after the appointment of the new manager, Marco Silva, and also the director of football, Marcel Brands. So, I mean, if I was to write this article right now, I probably wouldn't include them. I mean, like I say, there is that renewed optimism.
When I first saw the headline and it didn't mention it just being Everton, I thought, I wonder when this was written, because as someone who's followed Tranmere for the last 22 years, I was sure that they were destined for the top three until they got promoted over the last month or so, because it hasn't been easy watching them. Let's talk about some of the other teams that you've got in this list as well. Let's go from 10th to first, shall we? So Everton are in 10th. You've got Coventry in 9th. Now, they have finally ended months and, well, years of a wait for a promotion over the last few weeks. But before then, it had been something like half a century.
Yeah. I mean, with Coventry, I mean, I looked at them and they were kind of only just in the playoffs throughout the season. It was really uncertain whether they'd make it or not. It was certainly not a given that they'd be promoted. So I think there was a real anxiety about them, you know, right until they got that playoff spot. And at the time of writing, you know, they were a tough team to support.
I love what you've written about here, because you mentioned how they were in the Premier League just 20 years ago. And certainly one of the first games I remember watching live was a Liverpool game against Coventry, when Dion Dublin and Darren Huckabee up front absolutely destroyed Liverpool. Far cry from that now for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of my memories of Coventry as well is you know, that they were a Premier League mainstays. They were always there, often battling relegation, but they always got through. I mean, I remember an Everton game on the final day of the season when we stayed up because we drew with them. Gareth Farrelly scored a spectacular volley. Big pitch invasion at the end and everything.
Yeah, very famous one. We've definitely got the commentary for that one in the Radio City archive somewhere. In 8th place, you've got Arsenal.
Yeah. I mean, again, it was about the time of writing. I mean, they've, at this point, it had not been announced that Wenger was stepping down. Their expectations are to be in the Champions League every season. You know, that didn't pan out. None of their fans wanted to be in the Europa League. At that point, it was their only hope of silverware. And of course, that didn't pan out. Similar to Everton, there was a real toxic atmosphere at a lot of their games. A large section of the support wanted Wenger to step down. Now, of course, he has. And there was that sense as well of him kind of, you know, tarnishing his legacy a little bit, you know, his spectacular legacy. And, you know, now that he has stepped down, you kind of look back and think, you know, he's a wonderful manager. He achieved fantastic things at the club and in some ways changed English football. And you can look on it in a more positive light now if you're an Arsenal supporter. But there was a time as well where, you know, it was a frustrating campaign for them.
It certainly was. You mentioned that Europa League run they had, but even in the FA Cup and the League Cup, obviously they've often failed to deliver in the League Cup under Arsene Wenger. I think it was the only trophy they didn't win under him, but never really challenged for silverware all season. And that's something that would disappoint those fans hugely because they are so expectant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going into 7th place, you've got Ipswich in there. Now, it was an interesting season for their manager, Mick McCarthy.
It was, yeah. I mean, I think the term mid-table mediocrity has been kind of synonymous with them for, you know, many seasons. And McCarthy's someone who did a great job. He stabilised the club in the short term. But again, it's similar to Wenger towards the end of his tenure. He fell out with the supporters. The atmosphere was, again, I use that word, toxic.
And something,
you know, it didn't end well for him.
And something you point out in this article, 16 successive years they've been in the Championship. There aren't many clubs in the country, certainly if we go from the Championship down, because there are obviously quite a few who've been in the Premier League for that period of time. But if you're in the Championship, League One or League Two, it's very rare that you stay in the same division for 16 years. And it genuinely doesn't feel like that long ago since Ipswich were in Europe.
No, it doesn't. And also as well, I mean, I think their seasons are really becoming a sense of deja vu. They're all blending into each other now. It's almost like Groundhog Day for Ipswich fans.
It certainly is. You're listening to Radio City Talk. I'm Matt Jones here, and I'm speaking to Mark Langshaw, who's written an article on the 10 most depressing teams to support in the country for 4-4-2. Let's go to sixth. Stephen Gerrard has taken over at Rangers now, but before he took there, you wrote this article and you had them in sixth.
Yeah, he's got a huge job on his hands, Gerrard, because obviously, you know, the expectations of Rangers are to dominate. They've had their financial turmoil over the years. You know, they have to start again from, you know, the bottom rung of Scottish football. But the journey back to the top's been a lot bumpier than anyone would have expected. You know, they got stuck in the second tier for an additional season. And last season, they were scrapping it out with Aberdeen and Hibs. And, you know, their expectation is for them to be nowhere near those clubs. You know, they have a lot more resources, you know, a global fan base, and, you know, it just wasn't up to their standards, the usual standards.
Well, that's the thing. Their fans expect them to be challenging Celtic for first place, but the fact remains that they are quite a long way off from doing that.
They are a long way. I mean, I think with Gerrard, they're going to have a lot of patience with him. It'll be playing the long game, really, and they'll probably be fighting for second place again next season.
Probably will. I'd agree with you there. Let's get to fifth place. Now, I have to thoroughly agree with this team being placed in the top five because they have had years and years of turmoil behind the scenes, in the dugout, on the pitch as well. Leeds United.
Yeah. I mean, that's a club that's, you know, they've been so poorly run in recent years. You know, during the last chairman's reign, I think they went through, was it like 9 or 10 managers? And, I mean, they really are the model of a team that, you know, financial turmoil has knocked off their perch. Mm. They're one of the, you know, history, speaking in terms of history, they're one of the biggest clubs in England. And, you know, they still have an away support to back that up. But, you know, it's tough time to be a Leeds supporter.
It is. And you mention in this article about the successor to Thomas Christiansen, Paul Heckenbottom. And since you wrote it, he's got the bullet as well.
He has, but I mean, the guy they've been speaking to, you know, he's been strongly linked with replacing him. It really does sound like a decent appointment, this Bielsa. So he's an Argentine coach who the likes of Pep Guardiola and Simeone have said, you know, he's been a huge influence on their career. So if he comes in, I mean, I think he'll install a sense of optimism, you know, at least in the pre-season, similar to with Everton.
In fourth place on this list, you've got a team that I went to see play last year, North Ferriby, when they were in the National League. I saw them lose 4-1 to Tranmere at North Ferriby. Now, they won the FA Trophy recently, which was, I think many would agree, competing way above their station. Not been so good for them since.
No. I mean, their latest relegation has been on the cards. It was on the cards for a while. I mean, but the club now, its very existence is now under threat. You know, their owner, Jamie Waltham, he just described the club as unsustainable, and he's hinted about transferring you know, his capital into another club in the local area. So, I mean, it really shows that success and failure in football is relative. You know, you've got the likes of Arsenal on this list. You've also got North Ferriby United, who, you know, they don't know if they're going to be playing next season, if they even exist.
And then in third place, another team who have been battling against bigger clubs in their region, and that's Leyton Orient, who, of course, have had many drawn-out conversations with West Ham about their move to the Olympic Stadium, and now they find themselves in the National League, where they've had a really tough season.
Yeah, they have. I mean, I think the expectation for them was to, you know, mount a challenge to at least, you know, to compete to try and return to the Football League. But, you know, that didn't pan out. I mean, a lot of Leyton Orient fans have told me that they didn't want them at the Olympic Stadium, you know, and they said missing out on it was nothing to do with the club's downfall. But you have to admit the two things did seem to coincide with one another. You know, this drawn-out saga with the ground move seems to coincide with their, you know, a spectacular fall from grace, drop down the divisions.
Mm. They took their half the ball,
similar
maybe.
Similar to Tranmere, you know, they belong in the Football League and, you know, really hope, like to see them get their act together and, you know, mount a challenge to return.
Well, it's interesting you say that because Tranmere had successive relegations from League One to the National League the year after they got relegated from League One. Leyton Orient did it and they've had successive relegations. And now Chesterfield have done it as well. So it shows how hard it is to battle in League Two in your first season down there. And I think there are a few clubs who've gone down from League One to League Two this year who'll be a little bit worried about doing the same thing. In second place, you've got Sunderland.
Yeah, I mean, back-to-back relegations, it says it all, really, doesn't it? I mean, you know, when a team comes down from the Premier League, you know, the expectations are they'll be among that chasing pack to mount an immediate return. But, you know, I don't think anybody would have imagined they'd finish bottom of the pile.
Well, no, I guess maybe again it's that negative momentum, but they tried to change things around. They tried to change managers. They brought Chris Coleman in. He gave up the Wales job to take over there and nothing seemed to work.
They changed everything. They changed the players. They changed the formation. They changed the manager. It was just... Yeah, there was a dark cloud over Sunderland throughout the whole of the season, almost as if they were cursed.
And we've seen a few teams as well who've made dramatic drops from the Premier League towards League Two. Bradford, I think, were the first to do it, and then there have been others since. I think Sunderland, again, will be slightly worried about continuing that unless they can turn that negative momentum around pretty quickly. Now, in first place in this list, so this is the 442's most depressing teams to support, written by Mark Langshaw, you've got Brecon City. A bit of a outside-the-box one.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Brecon City last season were playing in the second tier of Scottish football for the first time in 11 years. It was... And it was an absolute disaster for them. I mean, expectations went high because they were not among the favourites to be promoted the previous season, but they didn't win a single match throughout the whole campaign. They had 4 points on the board, and their goal difference at the time of writing then was minus 73.
Can you imagine going through an entire season without winning a game? It must be so depressing for a supporter.
It must. I mean, I think Everton fans and Arsenal supporters as well could probably learn a lot from going to watch a Brecon City game on a freezing evening up there in Scotland.
Have you been yourself?
I have not, no.
I can't imagine.
On the list.
Maybe you'll see a win. Maybe you'll bring them some luck. Honestly, it's a really interesting list this, Mark. And there'll be some Everton fans maybe nodding in agreement, maybe some shaking their head. But you've got them in 10th place as one of the most depressing teams to support in the country at the time that you wrote this article a few weeks ago. Thanks for sharing it with us. And thanks for joining us on Radio City Talk this afternoon.
Right, thanks a lot, Matt. Full time. Back Monday from 3.